that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us not walking down from the flesh, but down from the Spirit. We didn't touch on this last week. The word requirement there is dikaioma. Dikaioma means an act resulting in righteousness. And we all know that dikaiosune righteousness is what? Thank you, yes. The state of him who is as how he ought to be. What's absolutely right, you are placed in that state. So, dikaioma is an act that results in righteousness. Say an act. An act that results in righteousness. So God of himself sent his son in the likeness of sinful flesh to condemn sin in the flesh, that the act resulting in righteousness may be of him not down from the flesh, but down from the Spirit. Okay? There's nothing that you can do to add to or take away from. God did it, and Jesus accomplished it in an act that results in righteousness. We talked about this. We mentioned this last week, Matthew 12, 27. We actually talk about it frequently. 37, okay? Jesus said, through your words, you are declared righteous. Dikaios, to declare righteous. Through your words, you are declared righteous. And through your words, you are, and I jumped up and down last week, not condemned, katakrino. This is katadikadzo. Katadikadzo, down from katadikadzo, justice or righteousness. By your words, you are declared righteous, and by your words, that righteousness is passed down unto you. That is an act that results in righteousness. If you want to go back to Romans, you can look at Romans again, where Paul said, Romans was at 8, if you profess, or 10, I think, if you profess, not confess, confess. Remember, we've been through that over and over. Homologeo. It doesn't mean confess. Confess is when you speak out something you did wrong. It's profess. It's a profession. When you profess with your mouth, it says the Lord Jesus or Jesus is Lord. When you profess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved, rescued, delivered. When you profess with your mouth, because when you, with the heart, with the mind, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth, profession is made unto salvation. That's it. That's all there is. It doesn't matter whether you cried or whether you didn't cry. It doesn't matter how you felt. It doesn't matter if you were on your knees. It doesn't matter if you had, you certainly don't have to be in church. In fact, I'm totally convinced that most of the people in most denominations that are evangelical, which means they invite people to come to be saved, as opposed to being Calvinist or Catholic or whatever, right? That invite those people to come down. Those people that, quote, profess that in church, they were born again before that. Most of the time. I believe that sincerely. Yeah. Because it's not about ever, it's not about the church. Quote, and I don't mean the body of Christ, I mean the building and the people and the organization and the things that go on. That's not what it's about. It's about you and God through Christ Jesus. And that's it. And we should never be putting anything in the way of that. I remember in one particular situation when you're dealing with children, like before they will allow the child to be baptized, the child has to come and prove to the guy, whatever, you know, pastor, priest, bishop, whatever title they wear, that they are worthy of being baptized because they know.
Why do you have to prove to a man?
It's a good question, isn't it?
Yeah.
What if you got a little 10-year-old sitting there and you're going, you know, my dad used to tell that to you. Where is Jesus? Remember that? My dad told a joke. They brought the little 10-year-old boy and his 7-year-old brother in because they were professing faith. And so the pastor was going to inquire of them to make sure. And so he sat them down and they said, "Where is Jesus?" And of course, supposed to say in my heart, right? "Where is Jesus?" And the boy was looking, and they're looking at each other and they're looking at him. Said, so he got a little louder. So, you know, "Where is Jesus?" And the big brother grabs the little brother and he ran out the door. They said, "We got to go, man. They've lost Jesus and they think we got him." That's how stupid some of this stuff is. Wouldn't it be funny if that 10-year-old kid looked at the pastor and said, "Are you saved? How did you get saved?" Again, the whole point of all this stuff, we reached a place here 30, however many, 7 years ago maybe, where I believe it was time for the reset. Like, you got so much stuff. We had people from all different things. I gave you a little bit of my testimony of all the different places. You know, name a flavor, I've kind of been there, right? And we sat around and we said, how are we going to do this? And we said, look, I got an idea. If it's not in the book specifically, we're not told by God to do it. Let's just don't. Let's just leave it off. And we founded everything on, first of all, the Word of God. Secondly, the power of praise, because we're supposed to praise God. And we're not supposed to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as lots of people do. And when we come together, we're supposed to sing to one another and talk to him in spiritual songs, singing, making melody in our heart to the Lord, right? And the power of praise. So, praise. And then we said fellowship. And that fellowship thing, we're, you know, our lives are gone. We've been a long time. Some of us don't have young kids anymore. However, the next generation have kind of taken it up because the idea was not just fellowship in here, but fellowship, period, that koinonia with other people. We decided we weren't going to, and when we decided we weren't going to have Sunday evening stuff because we wanted to leave that for the fellowship or for the families to spend time together because we have a busy society, most people still had Sunday services. Now, you know, charismatic, Pentecostal, non-denominational, even Baptist, Methodist, a lot of them don't have Sunday services anymore. Well, we got there first. You know, we are the avant-garde. We are the foremost position pressing the envelope. That's the kind of things that we looked at. Because we just didn't want to allow the traditions of men to get in the way of us receiving, believing, and walking in the things of God by the Spirit. Beware of the traditions of men because they will make the Word of God ineffective. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I believe your words in their hearts, not just changing, but settling out, informing and instructing their minds. Hallelujah.